Going. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're studying Ephesians. We're 4 weeks in, and we've completed two verses. We're doing good. Intended by now to have completed three chapters, doing chapter 4 tonight. That's not happening. And I know of an Indian pastor. I think he's a pastor. Pretty sure he's a pastor. His name is Zach Poonen. I met Zach many years ago, and I respect his preaching ministry. Someone asked him one time, they said, can you give me any advice when it comes to reading the Bible? And he said, sure, I can. Slow down. Slow down. There's no rush. You're going through the inspired Word of God. Slow down. So I've taken that to heart, and we're going to cover, I think tonight we're going to actually cover one verse. And so that'll be good. That's progress. And at this rate, we'll probably finish the book of Ephesians by VBS 2020. But that's okay. We're going to slow down because I'm just telling you, it was ridiculous for me to think that I could cover six chapters in 6 weeks, because I start getting in there and all of a sudden I go, oh, that's good. What's that word mean? And I'll go find out what that word means. And I'll, I think there's another verse like that over here. And I'll start looking at all the, and before I know it, I'm just digging way down deep into one or two words in one verse. And then I go, wow, we're never getting through. Well, that's okay. If we're studying the book of Ephesians and the Lord returns, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We don't have to finish it. We'll finish it at some point. But there's a very good chance, like 100% chance, 99.9% chance, that each month when it's my turn to preach, once Pastor gets back, that we'll be in the book of Ephesians. And we'll just keep going at it, okay? Because there's good stuff in the book of Ephesians. It's rich. It's really way up there, really high. And I need all that time because it's so high that I don't really think I can do it justice, to be quite honest with you. But we'll do our best. Let's look at verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3 is the one we're going to cover tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. We are grateful for all that's taken place so far. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord, and the singing and the special music by this dear family. And I pray you'll bless them, Lord, as they travel America. Give them traveling mercies. Keep their vehicles running well mechanically. Keep crazy drivers away from them and protect their family as they go and do your will, the will you've called them to across this land for Jesus Christ's sake. And Lord, we pray you'll bless your word tonight as it's preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That first word blessed there oftentimes in the Bible means happy, but not here. Not here. Of course, it wouldn't fit. It doesn't make sense to say happy be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word actually means praise. All right. So praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul used this word, it was a declaration. He made a declaration. We declare God to be worthy of praise. And he is worthy of praise. Amen? He's worthy of praise. We praise him with our lips because he first made us blessed. He blessed us. He first loved us. We didn't first love him. And so we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings means to favor. And God has favored believers with when it says blessed the second time, he's blessed with all spiritual blessings, that does allude to happiness or joy. Okay, so in the first word, it's reference to praise, and the second, blessed us with all spiritual blessings, it's God's favor in the sense of blessing us with spiritual blessings. It's his blessings are deeds, all right? Our praising, our blessing him is a declaration. His blessing us are deeds. He makes us blessed. God, he makes us blessed. He makes us happy or joyful. Now go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. thinking of the word joyful here, joy. It's such a powerful truth. Look what it says in verse 10. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Look at this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The word joy there means place of, it means happiness, I'm sorry. The word strength means place of safety, fastness, a harbor, or a stronghold. I think that's beautiful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is your place of safety. The joy of God is a place of safety? Yeah, it's your strength. It's your fastness, like something being fastened into the ground. When you put the roof in, brother, you fastened it with those screws, okay? That's what that word means there. A harbor. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like it's a place of safety for a ship that may be out in the sea being battered by the storm. And what are they trying to reach? They're trying to reach the harbor. They're trying to get out of the angry waves out there in the ocean, if you will, and stay in the harbor. Years ago, I was going on a fishing trip with my friend down in Florida, and he was taking his boat out of the harbor into the open ocean on the Atlantic. And we were going to go out a few miles, and we were going to fish. We began to get out into the Atlantic, and these huge swells were out there. And all of a sudden, that boat started feeling really small. Really small. Now, it was like a 25-foot boat. But also these swells were going up and then going down again. And when you went down into that swell, you couldn't see the waves. You couldn't see the ocean anymore out there, because the swell that was coming up was blocking it, blocking the ocean. And we were going up and down really high. And finally he said to me, you think we should turn back? Yes. Yeah, I didn't hesitate on that particular one. Yeah, let's go back. We went back to the safety of the harbor. That's what that word there means. It's your strength, all right? It's a stronghold. The joy that God gives us is a stronghold. The joy of the Lord is your place of safety, your fastness, your harbor, your stronghold. That's beautiful. Adam Clark says of this verse, religious joy, properly tempered with continual dependence on the help of God, meekness of mind, and self-diffidence, is a powerful means of strengthening the soul. In such a state, every duty is practical and every duty delightful. Does that describe your Christian life right now? Is every duty practicable? Is every duty delightful? If you're honest, sometimes they're not so delightful. Perhaps the problem is you're missing joy, you're lacking joy. In such a frame of mind, no man ever fell. And in such a state of mind, the general health of the body is much improved. A cheerful heart is not only a continual feast. Listen to this now. A cheerful heart is not only a continual feast, but also a continual medicine. What does the proverb tell us? A merry heart doeth good like a what? Like a medicine. It's actually good for you to have joy. It's healthy for us to have joy in our lives. Healthy. It's physically healthy. Maybe you're struggling with health problems. How's your joy meter? How are you doing on your level of joy in your life right now? Maybe you need some joy inserted into your life. You know, we've all met those pious saints who somehow believe that being happy or joyful is a sign of frivolity and a lack of spirituality. You ever met those people? Continual frown on their face. Why would I want to believe in your God? You don't look very happy. How are you going to win anybody to Christ with a scowl on your face? We've met people like that. I've met people who just say that they love the Lord, they claim to, and I'm just, bless God, I'm just ornery. Well, quit being ornery. That's not biblical. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, orneriness. I don't see it. That's not in the King James Bible. Being ornery is not a virtue. Okay? Evan Hopkins said this, there are some Christians who seem to be afraid of enjoying all the rays of the sun of righteousness. They are afraid of being too happy. You ever feel that way? If I get too happy, that's something wrong with that. Some of you need to try it, okay? Just try being too happy and see what happens. I know I could probably use a little dose of that myself. I have a tendency, this is being recorded, Abigail, so you'll have it on tape. I have a tendency to see the negative sometimes. See, you missed a chance again to say amen. This is twice now in 2 weeks. You had a chance. You got to take these cues. I have a tendency to see the negative because the negative is there and I see it very clearly. So I have to go out of my way to see the positive. All right? A lot of dose of happiness would help that. All right? Maybe you need it as well. Don't be afraid to be too happy. Be happy all the time. Hey, listen, when someone's really happy, don't you want to be around that person? There's a young lady that works with my children at Chick-fil-A. Her name's Michelle. She's about this tall, for real. She's really short, okay? She's a Roman Catholic girl, and she's really friendly. I mean really friendly. She, like, is embarrassingly friendly. She's the person you step away from when people come in the door at Chick-fil-A, because she goes, "Welcome to Chick-fil-A!" And she's, like, demonstrative, right? Can I tell you something? They love her there. You know why? She's just full of joy all the time. Now, do you imagine that she never goes through trials in life? Of course she does. Of course she does. She's human. She goes through the problems of life. But you know what she chooses to do? She chooses to make them joyful. Somehow she sees beyond the trial, and I don't even know if she's saved, but she has somehow been able to see beyond the trial, beyond her circumstances, and see joy in it, and she can rejoice with people. She is the friendliest person I've probably ever met. You know what they call those people? They call them energy givers. I like to be around energy givers. I don't like being around energy takers. We call that Eeyore syndrome. You know Eeyore, Winnie the Pooh? Walking around with a cloud over his head, rain's coming, you know, it's raining everywhere, or only on his head, nowhere else. There's a storm over his head. He's got the cloud, follows him everywhere. How you doing, Eeyore? Oh, well, okay. It's a bad day again. This bad thing or that bad thing will probably happen to me. It probably will. I don't like being around those types of people, because when you're finished being around them, you're like, what just happened to my whole day? I'm miserable now. Where'd my sunshine go? That's why I call her sunshine. She's a bright light in my life. She comes down every morning, gives me a hug. Good morning, Papa. She kisses me every day. Good night, Papa. Gives me a kiss. She's sunshine. I like being around Emily because she's just an energy giver. Other people like being around her. She's an energy giver. She's going to be playing volleyball this year for the Madison Area Homeschool League. And the coach asked me about her. Tell me about Emily. I said, I'll tell you this. I don't know if she'll be your best player or not, because I don't know what kind of players you have. But I'll tell you this. She'll work as hard as anyone, and you're going to love her as a player. She's going to be a very good team member. You know how I know that? Because she's an energy giver. She will go and she will encourage that team. Can I encourage you to be an encourager? I know. I understand that it's not natural for all of us to be that way. If it's not natural for you to be an energy giver, would you please try? Would you make an effort? Go home tonight to your spouse and just show some energy, okay? Just show them some energy. Show them some happiness. You might shock them. Be careful. Be ready for a response. Okay? Don't be afraid to be too happy. Evan Hopkins continues. Perhaps some of us have not really considered that, listen to this, joy is itself a part of the fruit by which the Father is glorified. Wow, let me say that again. Perhaps some of us have not really considered that joy, the word joy here in his statement is capitalized, that joy is itself a part of the fruit by which the Father is glorified. How is that? When a Christian shows off joy, it's attractive. And God is glorified because others say, why are you so happy all the time? Well, let me tell you, I'm right with God. God is glorified with that. Can you think of a scenario where the Lord wants you to be unhappy? I guess when you're in sin, we could say that, right? If you're living in sin, you should mourn. You should be miserable. You should be. If you're not miserable and you're living in sin, you probably should check your salvation. Something's wrong inside spiritually. So I guess in that sense, the Lord would want us to be in a spirit of grief, of remorse because we're sinning. But other than that, if our relationship is right with God, I can't think of a scenario where we're supposed to be down and out. Can you? I can't think of one. The Father is actually glorified by the joy that we express. Why? Because it's a gift from Him. It's spiritual blessing. He bestows upon us gifts. And one of them is joy. One of them is joy. It actually glorifies God when we take that gift and express it. There is nothing to be gained, he continues, by despondency. You know what despondency is, right? You ever feel that way? The pressures of life are so hard, they come down on you and you're just walking around like, here's the modern word for it, a zombie. You're despondent. There's no benefit in that. There's nothing to be gained from being that way. The Bible says to be careful for nothing. You know what that word careful means? Anxious. Do you know I've heard so many people recently talk about how they're struggling with anxiety? A lot. These are Christian people, by the way. Anxiety, 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 anxiety. Wow. I understand it because we're human. If you read the Psalms, you see David up and down. He went, you know, the king, the man after God's own heart. He struggled with anxiety. He struggled with it. And, you know, one minute he'd be down in the dumps, the next minute he'd be praising God. It's very strange, but it's true to human life. But the Bible tells us, that's a command, don't be anxious for anything at all. So that's the potential, right? We can literally live a life without being anxious. That's incredible. There's nothing to be gained by despondency. Doubts are not the marks of humility. Wow. Doubts are not the marks of humility. Unbelief is really evidence of pride. And there's no cloud that so effectively shuts out the glad sunshine of our gracious Father's face as the thick cloud of unbelief. There is no virtue in a frown. Okay? We all get down in the dumps. But don't let that define you as a person. We know people who are like that. And I'm very careful. The older I get, the less I want to judge people like that, because I don't know what they've gone through in their life. They may have gone through some really, really difficult times. But if the Lord, listen, brethren, some of you in here have been through some really, really dark times. You can still have the joy of the Lord living within you and working within you in spite of the things you've gone through. His grace is sufficient. The Bible tells us that. Someone said this, the joy of the Lord isn't there to remove the pain. The joy of the Lord is there to help me bear it. It's not going to take it away. We don't preach a prosperity gospel where everything good's going to happen to you today. Well, maybe something bad's going to happen to you. But here's the blessing. When it happens, God's there to give you strength because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Try this. Go through a trial and say, no matter what happens here, whatever, however this turns out, I'm just going to determine to be happy through this. Lord, give me your strength and joy and watch what happens. Your trial may not go away, but your perspective changes and it makes bearing that trial a lot easier. So really, the ability to make it through a deep trial lies within you, Christian. God has given you this. He's given it to us. Someone else said, patience doesn't grimly wait for the end. It radiantly waits for the dawn. William Vanderhoven said, life need not be easy to be joyful. Life need not be easy to be joyful. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. And look what our verse says. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, because that's exactly right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at the last two words. In Christ. In Christ. Let me read the quote again. Life need not be easy to be joyful. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. When you walk close to Him, you can walk through those trials and those deep valleys. Why? Because He's walking through them with you. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's what He said. That's a promise He will keep. Someone else said, just as the stars shine brightest in the darkest night, so your joy blazes brilliantly through life's worst problems when you count them as joy. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that some of you in here are going to have some problems this week. With this many people, it's going to happen. What if you look at those, what if you count them as joy? What if you decide to do that? I want to challenge you to do that and see what happens. Someone said, true joy glows in the dark. True joy glows in the dark. And I love this from Augustine, of all people. Listen to this. The Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. I like that. The Christian should be one big hallelujah. So when the world looks at you, they see hallelujah. And they say, what on earth does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. My God has blessed me so much. I'm so full of joy. It just overflows in me. I can't help it. Because He's blessed me so much. And then He's glorified because we can testify of Christ to this world. Listen, that world is miserable out there. They don't have any answers. We need to provide those. We have the answer, brethren. We have it right in front of us. But if we approach them with a down Eeyore complex, who wants that? Nobody. Nobody. I wouldn't. God grants joy in the midst of this sorrowful world. The world knows no such treasure, and it is a treasure. It's your strength. You understand that? When the world goes through a trial, they don't have that joy to draw upon. Imagine how miserable they are. Do you remember how it was for you? I do. Going through trials and having no one to turn to. No one stronger than me. That was hard. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Simply means the heavenlies, and no one quite knows exactly where that is. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. We don't know where the heavenlies are, okay? But it does say in Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the most important part of the verse, being in Christ. Paul doesn't say that the blessings are with Christ. He says they are in Christ. There's a difference. We don't have to go up there to get them. As a matter of fact, we're already seated in heavenly places, right? So the Bible tells us, if you're saved, you're already seated up there with Him. You don't have to go up and get the blessings. The blessings are in Him. Are you in Him? If you are in Him, they're available to you. That's encouraging. Every spiritual blessing is conferred on us because we are in Christ. If someone says, what does salvation mean? It means being in Christ. Very simply, it means being in Christ. That's what salvation is. There are a lot of different Bible words, redemption, propitiation, justification. All these words describe what salvation, and they're parts of salvation. The easiest way to say salvation is this, is to say you're in Christ. There are two types of people in this world, those in Christ and those outside of Christ. That's it. And if you are in Christ, these blessings are for you. Well, what are those blessings? We have them. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:30 this. Listen to this. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. There it is again. In Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those are the blessings we have in Christ. We have salvation in him to be restored to our Creator. We have wisdom in him to know how to apply this newfound knowledge. We have sanctification in him to know how to walk in the newness of life. Surely we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And when we come to Christ, we get everything in him. Everything. I don't need another blessing down the road. I've got them all available to me in Christ. I get the whole package when I get saved. Do you know why some people suffer and imagine that they need further blessings? Because they don't choose to take advantage of them fully in their life. And they imagine we have to have some further blessing. You don't. You have every promise in the book is yours. Every blessing is yours, Christian. We live down here when we could live way up here. Way up here. How many Christians fail to believe God's word in this regard? How many live impoverished Christian lives when they could travel in the heavenlies with Christ? We're already there in him. What would happen if we all decided, I don't know how many of us are in this room, 40 people maybe, 50? What if we all decided to allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength this week? Could you make that commitment? Don't make it to me. I'm just saying, think about this. Make this commitment to the Lord. Lord, this week, beginning today, because something bad could happen on the way home. Somebody cut you off or whatever, okay? And the joy of the Lord will leave you instantly when that road rage comes up into your neck, okay? What would happen if we really embraced all that we have in Christ and lived like adopted children of a king, which is what we are, right? We're Gentiles. We're adopted. We're children. We listen, Christian, I don't care where you are in your life right now. I don't care about your circumstances. I'm going to give you a factual statement that goes beyond your circumstances, all right? If you are a Christian, you are royalty. Do you understand that? You're royalty. So live like a child of a king. How would you act if you were a representative of a king and they sent you on an errand and you were going to communicate with this world? I mean, I don't mean be prideful, but boy, you'd go out there with a little bit of authority on your back. I represent the king. I'm one of his children. I'm a child of the king. You're a child of the King of Kings, the greatest king that ever lived. That's your father. And he blesses us with all spiritual blessings, all of them, at our disposal. There's no reason for us not to be happy and full of joy all the time. I know we go through trials. There's times of weeping and mourning. Yes, that's normal. But what defines you? Does joy and happiness define you? They should, because we're given all these spiritual blessings. If we were to do this, how would it change your outlook on life, your circumstances, your future? So let's this week determine. Let's determine to let God's blessings fill our souls. And let's determine to live them out in every hour of every day. And then let's see how we feel a week from now. I have a feeling if we actually put this into practice, that testimony time next Sunday night is going to be really rich. And you're going to say, I went through this tremendous trial, but I chose to let it be joy. And this is what God did. And you know what you'll be doing? You will be edifying the church. You'll be encouraging one another. That's Christianity. That's what God wants, because we need to be strong in here when we go out there. I think it's going to be pretty great. Let's get up from here and go out this week and be joyful Christians. Let's look at and say, Lord, you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Help me to live like it. And there'll be that temptation. That Eeyore complex is going to say, hey, did you forget about me? Yes, I forgot about you. Go away. Push it aside. Don't listen to it. Don't go there. You ever wake up or in the middle of the day, all of a sudden feel really down? And then you examine your circumstance and you say, nothing's really changed, but right now I'm really depressed. You ever do that? I've done that. Why am I feeling like that? And I have to physically stop and pray or sing a hymn or something to get my mind right because my circumstances haven't changed. Determine when that flood comes in of negativity to say, I choose the joy of the Lord, because the Bible is not lying. It's God's word. And it tells us that if we have that joy, it is our strength. It's our harbor. It's our stronghold. You need a stronghold? I bet you're going to need a stronghold this week. You know how you're going to get it? By being joyful. By being joyful. Be joyful. Choose to be happy. Choose. Choose joy. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you here about having joy in spite of what you're going through. I want you to know we love you as a church. We are here for you. We'll help you in any way we can. But we can't do for you what God can do for you. He is your strength. He is your strength. You have to know that. And so there's an altar here. If you'd like to come up here and do business with the Lord, you can do that, or you can do it in your seat. I'm not against that. God's there too. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, we're going to have one verse. That's it. If no one comes, we'll shut it down. But there's time for you if you'd like to do business with the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this precious truth that we have all the blessings we ever need from you in Christ. Help us to never forget that. Help us to utilize that blessing in our lives. You gave it to us as a tool to get through this life with joy in the trials. So, Lord, help us to do that this week. Help us all to choose joy in the midst of our circumstances. Bless those who you are dealing with tonight, Lord, and work in their hearts. Encourage them. Challenge them. In Jesus' name, amen. You come if you'd like. Okay. All right. Thank you, Carolyn. Appreciate that. Brother Koontz, do you have more prayer cards with you? Okay, so if you'd like to, Brother, if you'd go in the back there, and we'd like to come by and shake your hand, see your family, if you have some prayer cards. If you'd like one of their prayer cards, and you promise you'll pray for them, take their card, pray for them. I'm sure they'd appreciate that. We're so thankful that you chose to be with us tonight. You are dismissed.